You are listening to episode number 140 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast, Metal Gear. Hello, boys. I'm back. As I cannot do a Will Smith impersonation. After 7 months of a self-imposed retirement due to personal reasons, like I said last time.
He was spending on up in Kunlun working on his meditation. So
speaking of that, I'm gonna start this off to I've watched Ultimate Spider-Man because that's on Netflix.
I kind of like it.
The episode where Wolverine and Spider-Man switch brains had me fucking rolling on the floor laughing. I'm like this is amazing. I love this. It's a completely different tone and not the same as it's spectacular. Once I look past that, it's like I'm in love again. Are some of the jokes corny as hell? Absolutely, but I still liked it for what it was. Anyways. I am the once again host of the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel podcast. I leave for 15 goddamn minutes, and this is what's happening. I want to thank Arnold for doing it. You know, even though he's not here, he was a good host. I did listen, guys. So I heard y'all talking about me. I appreciate that. I'm glad that you guys have welcomed me back with open arms. But let's get once again back in the introductions. Joining me, Mr. Grump, the comic Grump, Taser. Welcome to the show with your Cheshire grin.
Hulk and Agents of Smash sucks. It sucks.
You know,
sucks. Welcome back, Iggy.
And of course, I don't know what to call your avatar on Skype. What do you call that?
Well, I've been going for a little while with dead cool.
Lame. Rob Liefeld's going to sue you.
Or Pool-Aid, I guess, if you wanted to go with that. Too.
Dead cool.
Dead cool? Dead cool. I like that.
Okay. I like Pool-Aid a lot. I like Pool-Aid a lot.
Pool-Aid.
Pool-Aid.
All right. As we're already off the rails, let's open it up with some giant robots. Obviously, the Wolverine.
Transformers?
Fuck Transformers.
Pacific Rim?
I need to see that still.
That was an awesome movie. Totally awesome.
Yeah, I know. I need to see an IMAX 3D.
Totally awesome movie.
I need to go. But anyways, no, not those robots. Odds are if you're Fearless's age or my age, you probably grew up in the 90s. And you probably grew up watching the 1990s X-Men animated series. Or, if not, you probably read an X-Men comic somewhere along your life, and you were probably introduced to the giant, gigantic purple and blue robots known as the Mutant Death Machines, Sentinels. Now, Brian, since you are a resident reporter, give us a scoop down on these new Sentinels.
All right. As mentioned in the episode we recorded last week, and you probably won't hear from, there's been a bit of a false propaganda thing going around where essentially what it is Singer's been promoting the rise of Trask Industries. If you don't know an X-Men fan, you're wrong. Okay? You're wrong. Trask, Mr. Bolivar Trask, is the designer
of... That's who Peter Dinklage is playing, right?
Yes, he is Bolivar Trask. Such a good actor, too, but that's neither here nor there. Essentially, Bolivar Trask designs the giant purple and blue mutant-hunting sentinels. They close in on mutant DNA, and they just annihilate you. And for a little while there, they were a legitimate arm of the government, and it seems to be where they're headed here, because there are a few storylines you can name off the top of your head where X-Men fans and likely non-X-Men fans alike will recognize, and one of those is Days of Future Past, where the Sentinels track down all mutants and try to basically eradicate them all. That's pretty much just the sole intention, to eradicate the dangerous mutants.
They are mutant killers. They are solely programmed to destroy and hunt mutants. They can connect. Their technology is so advanced that their scanning sequence could detect mutant, the X gene. That's how advanced their scanners are, which is pretty cool.
And recently, we got a bit of a glimpse of what we could expect from the Sentinels, as Brian Singer tweeted a photograph of a...
You pronounce it weird.
I'm sorry?
You pronounce Sentinels weird.
What, Sentinel?
Yeah, it's Sentinels.
He's a Bostonian, duh.
Yeah. Fuck you, anyway.
Like, I know you're putting a hyphen in there that's not there.
No, I'm not. I'm not doing that.
You're doing Sentinels. Whatever.
Actually, you are.
They tweeted a picture. A giant purple robot was standing as the director of thoughts.
Okay. One, I'm so glad I knew because fucking Hollywood, probably one of those Fox execs, we're not going to get the 50-foot tall Sentinel. I accepted that a long time ago. And those will only live in the video games and the comics, fine. I do like how tall this one is because... Comparing how tall Brian Singer is, and that's pretty much how he's like, what, 6 foot maybe? He's a pretty tall dude.
Probably about that, I would guess.
And then, you know, this is what, like 20 feet tall, right? They gave the specs out for this, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, the Sentinels themselves, they showed a picture of the Sentinel in the picture superimposed in front of a crowd, and it wasn't like stories tall, like what we're used to with Sentinels.
No, but it's like. Because they still have to play in that universe, so it would like they still want to keep that same tone. So
yes,
it still looks. And they've said that they will have flight capabilities and they will have the palm blast, which is like, you know, I remember as a kid, I was the tallest one. I would always be the one being the sentinel doing the hand palm thing. You know, who didn't want to be the sentinel? I always loved being the sentinel.
Yeah, so while we're not exactly getting what most of us fondly remember from the old 90s cartoon or from comics proper, it is a step in the direction. More than we got with X-Men The Last Stand, anyway. Where
that was a horrible, horrible. It had no color. It was the face mask was just terrible.
They got the size right, I guess, at least. I mean...
You really couldn't tell, though. It was the draw based on the draw distance.
Yeah, I know.
For all you know, the freaking head stuck out like a hot sock on robot.
Yeah.
But I like the purple. I like that the purple is there. There's not a lot of purple. You know, it's... You can see the Gatling gun on this. I know a lot of people don't like this, but I'm interested to see how this thing's going to move in motion. Because that's going to be the ultimate test. Like, how does this thing move? You know? Because it looks extremely stiff, and I'd imagine this is just for, like... When they're on set to do like prop, like to do like, okay, here's I don't remember what terms are called anymore, but like you know what I mean, to scale. There you go.
That's the scale, I'm still disappointed.
I wonder what this fan piece is. Like, what is that supposed to be?
For hair. It's a hair dryer.
Because structurally, that's a weakness. That's like, hit me here, please. Which, you know, maybe because the original scent, like at least from the cartoon. And the comics, too, it had the circular design, and maybe they didn't want to do that. I don't know why they didn't do that. Maybe it's because, I don't know. But, like, I want to know what the functioning is for that fan.
Or, you know what it is? Like, if you ever notice, Iron Man, movie Iron Man, actually has air stabilizers in his palms on top of the repulsors.
Yeah.
He actually controls himself with that. Maybe that's what that is. When it lands, it needs to... You know, it's some type of fan to stop it from crashing into the earth because Marvel movies are realistic like that.
Well, yeah, because whatever. So I mean, it's not bad. I don't hate it.
I do. I don't like it. It looks dumb.
I mean, it's an interesting design. I won't hate it until I officially see how it moves. I like the sort of. I like the eyes, the sort of glowing eyes, and this sort of just, you know, I don't know. It's could have been taller, yes. I knew it was never going to be taller because Hollywood hates giant things. Evidenced by looking at Pacific Rim and the fucking audience just won't see that movie. But you know, I'm very excited. I'm excited for it. There you go. That's it. Needs more blue. could have had that weird headdress thing, but we'll see. Taser, you go ahead and round off because I know you want to.
I don't like it, and it looks weak. You know, it doesn't look physically imposing. It looks like a slimmed down Transformer. You know, something that would get beat by Bumblebee in a fight. I'm fairly disappointed in how it looks. I have no idea what it's supposed to do aside from fan chest and Gatling gun hand. And then with the added news of Halle Berry barely being in the movie because, hey, I've got the child. I can't do much, which doesn't mean a whole lot anyway. You know, I mean, she'll have the same 10 minutes of screen time that she's always had and then be gone. Hey!
If she takes down a Sentinel for a lightning bolt, I will cheer in happiness.
Yeah, she'll have like a birthing cramp, and a lightning bolt will shoot out of nowhere and take out a Sentinel, and that'll be the sum total of her contribution. They'll probably blithely mention T'Challa in the passing as I've been the one to knock her up. You know, or maybe it'll be Logan, you know, because, you know, he gets women pregnant and leaves them all over the place, so hey, who knows? But yeah, this Sentinel is disappointing as all hell, and I'm hoping it's not the final one. I'm hoping, like I think we said and we've seen online, it's a prototype. You know, it's one of the ones that are in the wall, you know, but it's not, like, maybe it's one of the early ones that they fight until, like, the big fight is actually the big, holy gee whiz, it's bigger than a T-Rex.
Well, to be fair, the most devastating Sentinel, Nimrod, is like a size of an average human.
Yeah, but you know what? Nimrod is not something I would do in this movie.
No, you're right, you're right.
I would not do that.
Do you think they'll hit that mastermind?
Hold up. I'll address that first. You first. Mastermind is something I would see having already been built and working, you know, like emerging somewhere and moving on to plot and do whatever. But Nimrod is in the plans. And Bri, what were you saying?
Master Mold. Is that what you guys are talking about?
Right, Master Mold. Yes, exactly. Thank you.
I got the mutant Mastermind. Is that?
Yeah, no, I meant Master Mold.
He could still be in this.
Master Mold is already in existence.
They could use it as propaganda to bolster Trask Industries.
Yeah, you could do that too. Yeah, you could. You could do that too.
I should write this movie.
But Nimrod is something that I would, if not introduce outright, show plans for in either a second or third movie. Because Nimrod should be an awesome fight and not something that's just kind of like, oh, yeah, got that and done with. You know what I mean?
Give us the epic scale of Messiah War without actual Messiah. That'll be good. I like that, where they just sealed off San Francisco and they send in all the death bots and everyone just kills everybody. It's awesome. Okay?
Yeah, so, I mean, the thing is, like, I like the fact that they're actually going to do the Sentinels, and I whether it's going to be a version you're going to like, I told this today's pre-show that the one thing I'm disappointed with Singer's X-Men is the fact that if there's one thing a kid wanted to see in the X-Men movies is in the fucking fight of Sentinel, and Magneto's great and all, he's the X-Men's number one villain, but Sentinels are number two.
I'm disappointed that all we got was Head.
Yeah. She wasn't disappointed.
Hey!
But it's exciting, you know. It's 2014 is going to be a fun year. I'll say that much. 2014.
Yeah, I am looking forward to this. You know, this fan Sentinel aside, I am looking forward to this movie. I will say that.
Hello, Logan. If you know what I said, you know what that means. All right, since we're on the subject of Days of Futures Past, we're all pretty much relatively excited. It's going to show. To me, Days of Futures Past is becoming like, hey, you know all this Avengers shit? That wouldn't have happened without us. We're here. We're going to take our shit back. That's what I feel like this movie is going to be like. Like, we're fucking mutants and we're here and proud. Yeah, so let's just hope that it actually turns out to be a good movie and that it blends all of it together. So yeah, let's move on. Bri, what's next on the docket?
Alrighty then, coming down the tubes next, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. television show. We got some new publicity shots, a brand new poster. We got some Kobe Smulders and Clark Gregg stuff going on. And I don't know. I'm excited for this, man. I mean,
I still think that guy's Machine Man.
You think so?
I think it's Machine Man because it's not I mean, Machine Man's a white character, but he's an android, so he could be anything. I think it's Machine Man.
Yeah. But
as long as he acts like a smartass, that's all it's worth.
I know, it's just, I'm kind of excited to see how this sort of, you know, leans on the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because it was said in an interview, not the one included in the article we're basing this off of, but it was said in an interview that the way, coming up in one of the episodes, they come across an extremist-like tech solution, and so it obviously takes place post-Avengers, and if not after Iron Man 3, then somewhere along that line.
Well, to be fair, it could take place because Extremis was being developed over the course of since 1999 in that timeline. So
that's true, too. But the way that I kind of see this spanning out is that, you know, it's been described as sort of a procedural flipped on its head in a superhero world. And I'm not exactly sure, you know, what that was like, overarching storyline-wise, like what they're going to do with that, because
I mean, it's Whedon. Whedon's the executive producer, and he's the director of Avengers 2, Age of Ultron. You're going to hear a lot from me from that in the next 2 years.
I'm sure.
But, so I'm pretty sure him being executive producer, Marvel knowing they don't fuck with Whedon, that he's going to put built in there, this is going to all lead to Avengers 2. I think, especially how Iron Man 3 ended, and how, I think we're, you know what, I secretly believe that, I don't mean to cut you off, but
no, please go on.
But I feel that I think we're going to see the creation of Ultron through the course of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I feel like that's where it's going to come.
That would not, you know what? That wouldn't be bad. That would not be bad at all. That would be like X-Files, you know?
Like the build up to the movie.
Yeah. You see how things develop in the TV series. And then cut to, if not the first movie, then I'd say more decidedly the second one. Yeah, a lot of that shit gets resolved here. You know, you see the culmination of said. So that would kind of work.
And it, especially since we've heard reports that Thanos isn't even – we now know Thanos is not going to be a thing in Avengers 2, more likely Avengers 3, which is more fitting considering –
Well, he'll be a thing. He just won't be the main thing.
Yeah. The final boss fight won't be till 3, which
– Yeah, but you know that makes sense though? Because really, you don't want to blow your wad on Thanos.
That's exactly what I'm gonna say. And Ultron, you know, I get my way, and Thanos gets his rightful justice for if he's in Avengers 3, unless they keep pushing it back, which would be ridiculous. But that way, when Captain America comes out, or when like they'll probably still do post credit scenes, of course. But that way, the Phase 2 movies can stand on their own, you know, and they can tell their own story. But the real hint at Ultron, hint at Avengers or whatever, but the real meat of the build-up will be in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which could fuck off if nobody watches. That's the only drawback. If nobody watches, all I just said is invalid. So,
well, we'll you know, see. I just realized something.
Go ahead.
I just realized something. If, like, let's say, okay, Avengers 2 is based, you know, Age of Ultron, and it's mostly Ultron related, and Thanos is again relegated to being some schemer behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. You know what they could do? When we inevitably get Avengers 3, introduction of Captain Marvel. Because Thanos really isn't an Avengers foe.
He's a
Captain Marvel foe, and then he was Adam Warlock during the 90s. And,
yeah, I don't
know. Not really a foe during the 90s, but, you know, whatever. But that, I think, would be a very interesting.
I bet you we get hints of Captain Marvel in Guardians.
We might, but see, if anything, as a matter of fact, now that I think about it,
Kree are obviously in there somewhere. I mean, I think
right, correct. And if you think about it, by the time we get to that third movie, we could probably have Guardians of the Galaxy in the Avengers movie attacking Thanos with the Avengers.
And oh, like all of them, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah,
two teams. You know? Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, I'd buy that.
All right, but let's get back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. No, it's fine. It's going to – I mean, they're all connected anyway, so it's going to lead to that way. I think we should all go say what at least our expectations are for the show. Now knowing what we know, and it's a month away from premiere, and that means every one of you should watch it so that way my fruition of seeing Ultron being created on the television screen can be lived. Bri, what are your expectations for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
With Phil Coulson.
Resurrected Phil Coulson.
Well, I don't know. Have they actually come forward and say he's just resurrected? Because people are saying
I'm calling
now,
it that. I still think
other
he's
people have
LMD.
Said LMD. Other people have been throwing that theory around. I'd buy it more, you know, easily than him being resurrected. But I don't know. I mean, I guess as far as this goes, I'm expecting an action sort of tipped on its head procedural with Clark Gritt, and occasionally Marvel stuff happens. That's essentially what I'm thinking. It's going to be.
What do you mean by Marvel stuff happens?
Well, they're saying that despite a few guest appearances,
it would be cool if Frost Giant shows up and they have to deal with that.
They said that aside from a few guest appearances here and there, which Kobe Smulders is included as Maria Hill, they're not really going to be touching upon the Marvel Cinematic all that much because they want it to stand on its own as a television show. They don't want it to be an Easter egg for them. They want it to be a show where the storyline ties into the grander universe of what is a world like after superheroes have come out and all of a sudden they're a global force. So that being said, the focus on this team going around and cleaning shit up, I could see that. You know, I watch that now anyway with certain shows. The premise isn't new, but the pitch that it takes place inside of a greater universe and occasionally that may touch down is what I'm expecting out of it. A promise of bigger things that will be expanded upon in the cinematic universe, like you guys have pointed out, or just sort of kept, you know, self-contained. Like, they can't get to everything in the movie, so they'll throw it in the TV show. You know, I mean, a name here, a reference to an object there, it's more than enough for me. And, hey, you got Clark Gregg. Clark Gregg's awesome. He can carry the show by himself if they really wanted to.
Don't touch Lola.
Don't touch Lola, man. Don't touch
it. I like that they have a flying car in there. Like, that made me smile.
I know. That's a cool throwback. I dug that. So,
fuck,
I guess
let Bill Coulson play White Nick Fury. Just call him White Nick Fury.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
Fuck it. Is he as hard? No, but fuck it. Just call it. I'm just going to... He's Nick Fury, in my opinion.
I'd like to play Nick Fury.
Taser, what are your expectations for the show going forward?
I see this show being X-File-y / Lone Gunman-y. I see them going after... They're going to go after, you know, problems before their problems, you know. And it's going to have the look and feel of Smallville doing that.
Come on. Give it more than that.
Really. It's going to be on, what, freaking ABC? Right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It's not going to be media. If this was Fox, I'd give them more leeway because Fox is more willing to like take a chance in this regard, but it's ABC Disney. Yeah, so I don't see that. I'd give ABC Family a better chance of, you know, showing something with teeth than this. But however, I think that the decision to not make this an Easter egg farm is kind of a bad one because this is probably one of their best examples for them to actually bring the Marvel Universe.
A shared universe.
Yes, exactly. Mine it here without being too expensive at doing it. I think that's a mistake. You know, if anything, what I would like to see is like, okay, yeah, you have S.H.I.E.L.D. and, you know, they're mostly a science organization and they've got tech gear and gizmos and agents that do the. I want them to bring in magic. I want to see that. I want to see maybe once or twice, even once I could live with, I want to see dimensional breaches, you know, something, you know. I think that would go a long ways towards actually making that show, you know, what they want it to be, you know, something that shows a shared universe, and yet they're in the Marvel Universe, and this is something that actually happens. So, I don't want it to just be, oh, this guy's designing some type of, you know, military industrial complex project that might destroy a couple people in a building, you know, because we can't do a whole lot of dangerous stuff. And yay, America. I want them to actually show that, yeah, it's the Marvel Universe. You know, I don't want the punk acid. So, yeah, they kind of need to, you know, step a little further than it sounds like they're really willing to go in my book.
Maybe, and this is a huge maybe, but maybe they want to do that for season one, get everybody who isn't as familiar with the term Marvel Universe, everything is connected, despite that the movies are, but really they're not only in Avengers they are, except for the post-credit sequences to a degree. But maybe they want to, okay, here's how the world works, and maybe in the initial first half of the season we'll get that, and towards this latter half of the first season, and into this, if we get a second season, we'll get more of the what you want. But it's all
which would be fine, but what I'm saying is, like, all right, if they're going to take and work within the Marvel non-comic universe, okay, I don't want to say cinematic universe anymore, but all right, they want to take and work within that because, you know, they want to link TV and movies. If they don't want to go too far into, like, individual properties, they could at least drop.
Acknowledge that Thor, that this universe.
No, not so much Thor, but.
Well, no, I mean, these other things Thor out himself, there,
like
but...
the search for the Cosmic Cube and freaking Red Skull. Well, like, oh, yeah, we've also got leads of Skull showing up and da-da-da-da-da-da.
Well, and no, what I mean is more the fact that acknowledge that you live in the same world where there's terrorist attacks being committed by this fake-ass phony known as the Mandarin. Plus, there's a dimensional portal coming in from Valhalla, that's different, from, like, Alfheim or some shit. Like, I don't fucking know.
Or the Serpent Society, something
exactly.
Like
that. Acknowledge
that would be fun. I totally enjoy stuff like that. But I would like to see, you know, maybe not necessarily season one, but, like, season two, I would like to start seeing the bad guys kind of reflected in that way. Let's see Justin Hammer. Bring back what's his name? You know,
yeah,
bring him back, and yeah, he's trying to go straight, and yeah, he's really not, you know, and he's doing some stuff. And he might end up having a guy work for him, and I forgot the
That sounds like a season one reveal.
But no. Think
no,
about
like
it.
End of season
he's got
one,
the wizard working
two.
For him. Huh? Think about it. You know,
you know,
maybe
cool
he's not to do with the big head, the big helmet head, but it's him.
You know, cool
you know something like
this,
that.
This,
so,
the alternate identity where he's just kind of working, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not too, it's not costumey, but it's the guy.
Yeah.
So I can,
ooh,
I would
Harris?
Like that.
Should you know,
bring maybe bring
leader.
In Pace Spot Pete too while we're at it.
Yeah.
Or Roxxon.
That's what I was going to say. That's my expectation. Like I feel
yeah,
like...
but see, I don't want too much of that because having evil company is too easy in this genre.
Evil company?
Way too easy in this genre because you can make everything very
we
low,
know Roxxon
very low
in
tech and less expensive and just say evil company and agents and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. It looks like it begins looking like Chuck, and I don't want that.
I don't know. What
as Chuck much as I like Chuck, don't get me wrong. I really like Chuck.
I just
to,
like that one
you know,
actress in Chuck. That's it. Yastrzemski or whatever her name is.
Yeah, she should be Captain Carol Danvers, good sir.
My expectations for the show are pretty much like Taser's. I don't mind procedurals. I fucking watch Law & Order SVU Marathon whenever they're on, so I don't mind those. But I do want the whole overarching story. I do want them to acknowledge. Well, I'm a little annoyed that they would... I can understand why they don't want to do, like, Easter egg hunting and they go wink-wink at the camera. They want to tell their own thing. I at the same time, I do want to acknowledge that, like, yes, you do live in a world where there is a God of Thunder, and you also do live in a world where there is a billionaire playboy, philanthropist, whatever he called himself, crawling around fighting terrorist cells. Also, there's a living World War II legend right across the hall from you, probably. I want them to acknowledge it, but I'm sure it's gonna be fine. Clark Gregg's a fun actor; everybody loves him. Everybody was sad when he died in Avengers. I'm excited. I'm really cool to what they seem to do with the tech stuff, the spy stuff. I wonder if Sam Jackson's gonna make an appearance. But overall, it seems like it's gonna be a decent quality show. But I hope people watch.
So do I.
All right.
I hope it does better than ABC's last superhero theme show.
It's going to be because it has the Marvel logo. That alone will bring people in.
It's already got a fan base.
You want to put money on that?
I think the Avengers. I think having because they're fucking going to bombard the advertising with spinning out of the Avengers, and people love the Avengers.
Yeah, but okay, you're right. Tossing in the Avengers name, as a link to it, will help pull in viewers for maybe that first month. But then when, people start realizing, hey, I don't see no Iron Man.
Well, then people are either going to like it and then for what it is or they're not. I think more people will like it for what it is.
I hope that. I honestly do. I'm just saying I wouldn't guarantee it. I don't know if this would have the same length, the same amount of legs as Smallville did, so.
Smallville had an unusual length. Like, that's uncanny, even in regular TV standards.
Well, the thing is, nothing really like this has sort of been attempted before, I don't think. I mean...
What, you mean a law enforcement show? No, that's not true.
Taser, for God's sakes. No, yes. What I'm talking about is this already has a established film saga behind it. That is what it's cashing in on. You understand that?
Yeah.
Granted, there have been shows where they've attempted to cash in on a larger universe, but not to the extent where they've given you a taste of that universe and then gone all in.
I want to see Stark Avengers Tower. That's what I want to see. Boom. I want to see them fly by and see Avengers Tower still being repaired. Why didn't Tony just stay there? Fucking wrecked his own house.
That would make sense.
They never saw it.
Good point.
Yeah.
Well, okay. That's enough Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s talk. Let's move on to something that will make Taser rage. Brian, what's going to make Taser rage? Make me happy.
Oh, yes. For those of you who don't know, there was this little indie convention out in San Diego a couple weeks ago. It was called San Diego Comic-Con.
You've probably never heard of it.
Probably never heard of it. And exhibited at this illustrious con was props from the upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Now, the props in themselves are not exactly what makes Taser rage. No. What makes Taser rage is the people who were standing around these props. That is Nova Corps soldiers. You see, despite the intricacy of the props themselves, the Nova Corps soldiers looked rather underwhelming, I suppose is the way of putting it. Taser, would you like to add your spiel?
I'd like to condemn the both of y'all to, 5 hours of naysay complaining about something, okay? There you go.
I like naysay. Suck. He's a friend of mine.
Yeah, naysay's okay. I still condemn you to 5 hours of listening to him bitch about something. You suck. Damn it.
Yeah.
That sucks. It sucks. And it sucks.
But it has the little red thing on it has the little red thing on top.
Oh my god, I think we might actually break Taser. Oh my god, Taser, are you okay? I feel so bad now. I think Taser's gone.
They're not the human rocket, man. We got Richard Ryder's not around to see this.
No, instead we've got John C. Reilly.
Is he actually in the movie?
Yeah, he plays one of the elite Nova Corps soldiers.
Oh, so he's not Ronan the Accuser.
No, Lee Pace is Ronan the Accuser.
Why does that name sound familiar?
Yeah, I think he was one of the names they were throwing around for Joe Carnahan's Daredevil a little while back, but I don't think anything ever became of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Lee Pace is Ronan. And
I don't think they look bad. I mean, they're not... Clearly... They don't want to go with, I don't even know if they call themselves the Nova Corps in this movie. Who knows what they're going to go by?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's Nova Corps. I mean, Glenn Close is cast as Nova Prime.
Oh, really? That's an official title?
Yes. She is. That is her official. That is her official title. Yes. Taser, I mean, buddy.
They're very humanoid. That's the only problem I have with it is the fact that they don't look like they're something from outer space. You know, which is, they just look like prison uniforms.
They look terrestrial.
Yeah, there you go. That's the word I'm looking for.
They look like something that Tony Stark might have come up with, you know, giving a half a minute's thought. And there's nothing special there. They just look like, oh, look, we just kind of went to a costume shop, threw some stuff together, gave you a pseudo metallic looking helmet, and put a gun on your arm. Hey, Nova Centurion, are you fucking kidding me? Nothing about what we saw, nothing about those guys says, hey, I fly through galaxies, use gravimetric gates to port between galaxies, or anything else like what we know the Nova Corps is capable of doing, at least at this moment, okay? I could go back on the history of Nova Corps and tell you they weren't even capable of doing that, but that's besides the point. What we saw at the SDCC, you know, as you know, on display was just like, alright, I'll put it to you this way. As big a fan of the Nova Corps as I am, I had no clue who they were because they don't look anything like the Nova Corps aside from that 3-star thing.
The red thing could be anything. That red thing on the side.
I mistook it as Brainiac the first time.
Yeah, you know. So why if I know that the Nova nothing Nova anything? Excuse me. Pardon me again. Nothing Nova Corps related looks like them. Nothing. You know, even the star thing. Come on, you know? I mean, that costume fuck-up is worse, and I'm going to say it. It's worse than Green Lanterns, you know? Oh, look, it's alien skin, and it's got energy pulsing through it. Woo!
I do like what's his name? What's the lead guy in Guardians called? What's his name? Peter Quill, Star-Lord?
Yeah, Peter
Quill. Yes.
I like the mask, or the helmet, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, that's about the only thing that they kept.
The knives, are those Drax's knives?
Yeah.
Those are fucking huge.
Yeah, that's what they're supposed to be. Okay. He has, like, the big, big, big daggers.
Okay.
You know,
well, I have a toy of Drax.
Just get stabbity.
I always took him as sort of the Marvel answer to Kratos in one way or another. He looks it.
You know, the sad part is, though, him and Gamora kind of fit the same slot, you know? Person with a blade that will cut through just about anything because they're good enough and they can. I miss old school Drax, who was just durr. Well, kind of old school Drax. He was like strong, dense, durable, and could actually blast stuff. He was a blaster. And, you know, then they tweaked him and we got to where we are now. But he at least filled a different role. See, that's part of the problem. You have two people who kind of fit the same niche on the team, and that kind of sucks. But, you know, ignoring what they do when you go with the character, you know, that's still an interesting dynamic in and of itself, so that makes it work. You know, because the Drax was completely different than Gamora.
Why
and
is
I like
Peter
that.
Quill wearing a trench coat? Is he Constantine? No, because I'm holding
what?
No, because I'm looking at the photo, because I know there's a better picture, but I don't think they should look it up. I'm looking at my Peter Quill Star-Lord figure, and it has, like, the uniform with the fire on his chest and the helmet and the mask and the two guns he has. And I look at the one on – I guess the guy in the middle is supposed to be Peter Quill Star-Lord, and maybe he becomes Star-Lord in the movie, but I'm like, why is he wearing a trench coat? And it just made me think of Constantine.
He's sort of born Star-Lord. He's Star-Lord by his birthright, yeah.
Oh. Well, I mean...
Yeah, they reworked his origin, and now he's of royal blood. You know,
yeah.
Bullshit.
Oh, you mean that wasn't always a thing?
No.
Oh.
No.
It probably is because of Age of Ultron in the ending, you know.
Also, basically, it was retcon punch.
Continuity.
You know what? That's, Age of Ultron was probably Bendis' way. Look, like all that shit I did, totally canon now, because I did this. which we'll talk about in the book of the week. But I mean, I don't like them simply because they're terrestrial, not because I have any affinity for the Nova Corps, but because they look too much like a prison guard here could work at a very high-end security system.
They, you know what they look like? They look like guards for the Raft. You know,
a little bit, yeah.
There's nothing spacey or cosmic about their outfit. You know, it's disappointing. That's the worst part. It's disappointing. It's not even. There's nothing inspired or inspiring about their outfits. Nothing makes you go ooh. I sit there. I look at this and I just go, huh? What the fuck? You know, they're boring. The one thing you should not have when you do a costume for a comic book character, regardless of whether they're big name or not, is boring outfit. And this is getting away from the fact that Marvel has been trying to tweak costumes for like the longest time. Look what they did with the X-Men. While they made sense to an extent, they were all the same costume. You know, fucking disappointing. Mm. So this
you know about the movies?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was like,
No. I meant the movies. Like,
Jim Lee wants to talk to you.
No. No, I meant the movies. And, okay. And look at Captain America's costume in his movie, and then look what we got in the Avengers. And you know they want to change that.
Oh, yeah. It's already changed, I think.
Yeah, and I'm not too happy with it. I like what he had in Avengers. What he's going to end up with, I'm not too thrilled with from what I saw of it. I just look at this and go, really?
Winter Soldier looks badass, though. I like how Winter Soldier... It's a simple costume, but you could fuck it up easily by adding too many things. I like how Winter Soldier looks. All right, so you hate it. You're seething. It's going to be interesting to see how this all works, because I know somebody we know, somebody we all know is looking forward to this movie just because of juicy guy, James Gunn or whatever.
Yes, our backwoods friend who couldn't be with us last week or this
bom,
week.
Bom, 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 buck, buck, buck. Now let me stop. JP's all right.
but, you know, I mean, that's the one that I think Marvel has to watch the most to see whether they can do other properties if the bomb goes succeeds. You know. All right. Enough of that. Let's go on to the comics. this week we're going to open up with the Indestructible Hulk. Agent of Time?
What?
What does that mean? And on the cover basically says, did Age of Ultron break the time stream forever?
Mm-hmm.
If you had Age of Ultron, you know what happened. I'm not going to bother to explain to it, so let's move on. Anyways, so here we are, issue 11 of Indestructible Hulk, which I personally... By the way, shut up, Taser, because I told you he would talk and he talks. So there you go. Anyways.
The what?
You argue with me when the series didn't start that he didn't talk. He's talking here in this issue.
Yeah, change of writer. Funny how
it's
that
It's Mark Waid. It's still Mark Waid.
Yeah.
It's still Mark Waid. The point is he talks. It's just that when you're smashing, you don't have time for talking.
Bullshit.
Anyways, so here we go. I've been away for a couple months. I want to say that I love this series, especially the three-part with Walter Simonson on Thor again, drawing Thor and Hulk kicking Frost Giant ass. So that's all. So anyways, here we are. This is spinning out of Age of Ultron, which I didn't even know. I knew like several books. I didn't even know this is an Age of Ultron. And it starts out with the Banner's crew infecting, sort of looking out into the time. Everything's sort of what's going on in the time spectrum, and one of their agents is caught and is simultaneously age 2, age 50, and age 6 weeks, and age 90. Basically, everything sort of coming together. We get a great sequence. By the way, as cool, as great as Francis Yu is, and as awesome as a god that Walt Simonson is, I think that this kid, Mateo Scalera, is awesome as well. I think he's a rising talent. I love how he draws the Hulk. I just love the sort of oddness, especially the double-page spread of Hulk punching the plane and just the oomph. Everything just goes to shit. So this Mateo Scalera guy's going places. And so basically they notify Banner that They know about time or the temporal irregularity, management, and eradication. You know, Tony Stark apparently doesn't know about it, so kudos, Banner. You know something Tony Stark doesn't know. And they're gonna go see Prisoner Z. So like apparently they know something's wrong with the time stream. Zekro, the Tomorrow Man. I don't know who this guy is.
Old school callback.
How old school are we talking?
Taser, do you know this guy? The Tomorrow Man.
Oh yeah, Zarko.
Yeah, he's in the Incredible Hulk.
I know. I read the book, but it's been a long time since we've seen him.
Yeah, when.
So basically, they're talking to Zarko, who's from the 23rd century.
Yeah.
And apparently Thor fought him. It was one of the first people to fight him.
Yeah.
And they're seeing, and he basically guessed. And I love this panel. It's like, of course, you've seen only in three dimensions. You're blind to the fourth and Banner.
Time.
And simultaneously, while we're getting sort of conversations, they're flashing in between like different time periods. You know, you get like 1950s. I'm assuming this was to be the 50s, by the way, it's addressed. Feudal Japan and then Victorian times, and we even get sort of like the all new X-Men get pulled into this, which. As I was talking to these guys pre-show, the sense that Marvel is building to something even bigger, which has me, like I said at pre-show, as I say, repeat my words, at the end of New Avengers 32, when they revealed that Elektra was a Skrull, like, what the fuck does that mean? And what are you leading to? Even though what they could lead to could be awful, I don't care. It's the lead-up that's sometimes more fun than the actual event. And, you know, they talk about the new X-Men, and, like, all this shit is basically causing time and reality to easier to blend. And now, apparently they can't remember Betty Ross as Red She-Hulk, and eventually Banner doesn't even remember who Betty is, which is sort of, what? And so, basically, Banner has to go into time stream, am I right?
Yeah.
And he has to stay as Hulk, otherwise, if he doesn't stay as Banner, that's no good. That's not a good thing, that's bad juju. He's going with Rob the Robot, who I love, and he arrives in 1873, which I think that's one of those has to be the Rawhide Kid.
Yeah.
Which was is it the one in the red?
I believe so.
Okay, which is if you don't have to know that, but that's something that just seems to click because it's Marvel. It's who else is it going to be? And immediately chased by a accurately portrayed Tyrannosaurus Rex. Being all feathery and shit, because apparently that's what apparently dinosaurs were. They weren't scaly, they were feathery. The one thing I like about this book is the fact that Mark Waid is just finding interesting things to do with Hulk and Banner. Even though this wasn't a lot of Hulk, this was primarily Bruce's introspecting and what the fuck is going on. I always like it when writers put characters in situations they're not familiar with. And it looks like Hulk's going to get the punch of dinosaur next issue, so that's going to be fun. I just love the tone of this. I love sort of the running joke that Maria Hill hates Banner. Just fucking hates his guts. I think it was, 2 issues ago where she, like, no, you don't have to go as Hulk this time. Shoves him out of a plane. He pulls the ejector pack, and it's a fake shoot so he can transform a Hulk into the most stressful situations you can imagine, which is great. But I like this. I like that Mark Waid is taking something like, oh, you want me to cross over? You want me to do Age of Ultron? Okay, I'll do this. And he does it extremely well, like the master that he is. But the one thing that amazes me is the fact that is Matteo Scaletta, with Val Stables and coloring, he's just a great artist. Brian, maybe you agree with me on this. He kind of reminds me of Jerome Opeña a little bit.
I can see shades of it there.
He's doing his own thing. What?
No, that was just me clearing my throat. Nothing.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No,
it's not a problem. But he's doing his own thing. But it feels like he's a little bit more smooth than Jerome. But it feels like he's influenced by his style, which is awesome because Jerome Opeña is not a bad guy to copy from.
No, Jerome Opeña, he's a hell of a guy. I'll give him that.
So yeah. I'm liking this, and I like the fact that this next arc's gonna take Hulk through cross time, which maybe has been done before. I don't care. Age of Ultron, you know, who cares? it's always going to be fun. Maybe Hulk's going to punch something giant. I just like the fact that Mark Waid is finding different situations for Hulk versus fighting a gigantic gamma-rated monster or a big machine or something. Not a big machine, but, you know, just it's nothing. Nothing is in this book so far has been inherently gamma-rated. Besides the Hulk himself, but like he's not fighting creatures who, oh, this was a gamma accident from when you first started, but we've only heard about it now because, you know, we've been kind of busy following you superheroes. So yeah, I give this book a 4 out of 5. This is a good jumping on point. It kind of gives you what the book is all about. You know, Banner builds, Hulk smashes. So yeah, I like this issue. I like the series. There you go. What did y'all think of the issue?
Bri, you take it.
All right. I thought the inclusion of the Tomorrow Man was a brilliant idea because now they have a link to the future without expressly, you know, having to. It's an interesting piece. I mean, I've been on and off Hulk so far. I've liked this issue. I bought it off a recommendation. The thing that kind of bugs me, though, is just the idea of Hulk going back in time and fixing shit. So basically the premise of this book kind of took me by surprise. Not to say that it was a bad issue. The writing and the art, like you've said, is brilliantly done. And the way they treat the characters themselves is very well done. I like that Maria Eliza Vendetta. I like that Hulk is, you know, Hulk and Banner trying to be taken seriously inside this world while also fixing time by punching it. And I like the Tomorrow Man. I liked his inclusion. But just the premise itself confounds me. You literally work for S.H.I.E.L.D. And of the unlimited resources you have at your disposal, like, for example, we'll get to this a little bit later, but you have Dazzler in your crew who has been dimension hopping. And what do you give? You give it to Hulk?
But they don't mean to
get really?
Hulk. Well, fuck it. Punch it.
Yeah,
fuck it, punch it.
When you don't, let's face it, we've all been there. You don't know how something's not working. You hit it and it works.
Look, fair enough, but seriously,
hit it and quit it.
I don't see exactly what the. I don't know.
It's Wade. You know he's going to come up with something that makes sense.
That's true, and I am patient enough and enough of a fan to give him the space and the time he needs to make it work. I am not at all saying this story's going to flame out, but I'm just saying the premise itself is just a little bit, you know, lost on me. But we'll get to S.H.I.E.L.D. and their numerous fuck-ups when I start reviewing my book. But for right now, I'll leave it where it stands. I'll give it a 3.5 out of 5 total.
Okay. T-Man, what did you think of Indestructible Hulk number 11?
I've been enjoying the book for the most part, aside from the whole, you know, one comment, one word per issue, maybe, thing that Wade's been pulling off. I did note that, oh, wait a minute, he actually said something twice here. And then you come to, when we get to him talking to Zarko and Zarko talking about how he's been messing with things all over the place and how he's been tweaking this and chasing this. And notice how you can remember Red She-Hulk, but you can't say her name. You know, and so maybe that might be a reason why, you know, all the things that Banner thought were responsible for the differences in how Hulk behaves when he hulks out. Oh no, apparently that's not true. So that right there is an automatic explanation as to why this Hulk behaves the way he does, as opposed to the way he did in the last Hulk series. Come on. Let's be real here. So this was just Wade kind of addressing it without addressing it. You know, and I give him a thumbs up and a big punch the fucking gut for it. You know?
He'll probably, you know what? Knowing Wade, he'll probably punch you right back.
Yeah, he would break his hand doing that. I've seen Mark Wade. Anyway.
No, of course he would, but he wouldn't be afraid to punch back.
I don't have a problem with that. You know, I'd respect him for it. I'd still kick his ass, though. But The story itself, I give thumbs up to the inclusion of Zarko because he's not somebody that people have touched in a long time. And rather than do something simple and easy like use fucking Kang? No, he went with Zarko, and I like that.
Well, Kang also kind of, I bet you he might have asked for Kang. It's like, oh, Remender's busy with him.
Right, yeah, but he could have done either Kang, Immortus, or what was his name? Crimson, what the fuck?
I think all of his personalities are busy with.
Yeah, so I mean he could have gone that route, but no, he went with Zarko. Like I said, and I like that.
Yeah.
And then he kind of addressed the whole, well, how could he be here if, and then he had him talk over it, so that kind of addressed like the big, you know, pseudo time loop in regards to that. And it's interesting to see how Wade, you know, worked his way through the mire of time shit, you know, and you could do almost anything with time shit nowadays. Mm-hmm. Also, it's interesting to note that in regards to Marvel had a thing for a long time where when they did time stuff, they never went back over their own time. They went into somebody else's time and actually created a divergent path. Mm-hmm. This is actually treating time like DC treats it, you know, where you're not going over here. You're going directly back into your own past. And I kind of miss the old way because it was different, but I can accept this. You know, it doesn't really affect me too much. I agree with Bri in that. So you mean to tell me the only reason they're using Hulk is because he's the only one that can withstand using the suit?
Extreme situations calling.
Yeah. And second of all, I kind of balk at the notion that S.H.I.E.L.D. would have a time division. That's all kinds of preposterous.
Apparently that's a thing. That's a thing beforehand.
I've never heard of them.
I talked to a friend of mine like that. I don't. It's a thing. It's not a Wade thing. It's a thing.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
Then if it's a thing, and I'm
it's
not.
Like, it's like Tomorrow Man. You know, nobody touches it.
Which is fair. But
yeah, and a week ago I would have said the same thing about the Living Tribunal, but that doesn't exactly hold up now, does it? Does it?
What I'm saying is this: I'm not. I can't say it's a lie because I have a big gap in my Marvel, so it might be. But I'd say it's a relatively recent one, and it's one I'm willing to let go. But I do think that S.H.I.E.L.D. policing time is, or at least doing that by themselves, is a bit kind of eh, you know. I could see them working in conjunction with some other organization and addressing the issue, and in which case I would have liked that, but we got what we got, and I can roll with it. And the whole thing with a Hulk having a Banner bot floating with him and trying to keep him on the correct path and then doing whatever, I think that should prove to be an interesting dynamic for the course of this storyline. Whether that bot sticks around afterward is something I'm kind of waiting to see happen. It really is. Because we know that he's gotten rid of all those other things that S.H.I.E.L.D. keeps wanting to run around with him. This might stick because it's Banner's voice in his mind. Him going back in time and, you know, you've got... And when you asked who that was in the red, I thought you were talking about the one all the way. You had the three gunfighters. I thought you were talking about the one all the way on the right because the redhead is the Rawhide Kid. The one in the center is Kid Colt.
Oh, okay.
The one off to the left is a two-gun kid. I knew the one in the left and the right.
I knew the left was two-gun kid. I knew that.
Okay, yeah. No, I thought when you said red, I thought you meant the redhead. So that's
no,
the Rawhide Kid. I did have to look up.
I like that they use Marvel Western characters, though.
Yeah, well, so do I, and that's an interesting point in Marvel history. Not one I enjoy because I actually hate Westerns, but I do enjoy. I like the characters. I'll just say that. So, in conclusion, because I know I got long winded here, I'm looking forward to how this story plays out. You know, I see this as it's a good jumping on point, especially because it looks like Marvel might start, you know, mining its own history. You know, and I like stuff like that, because that kind of exposes people to more of the stuff out there that might not necessarily be getting any use at this current point in time. So, hey, this seems kind of interesting. Let me see if there's any back issues or whatever. I'm all for that. I give this a 4.2 Warriors out of 5. I really enjoyed it.
All right, well, there you go. Incredible Hulk, positive reviews all around. Awesome. Okay, I know. It's been a while. I have to mention this book because you people who listen need to fucking read this book. Why are not enough people talking about the awesomeness that is Cable and X-Force?
I'm reading it.
Okay, I want to mention this briefly, but the last issue with the tag team with Domino and Boom Boom was the funniest action-packed single issue I've read in a long time. It's like, it was... I just have to say one sentence, like, Boomer, yeah, you suck. I know. And the thing is, I wanted to hate this book, you know? But I didn't think it was possible for me to I like all the people in the book. There's not one person I hate in this book, which is interesting. Like, freaking Dr. Nemesis and Forge is a great buddy comedy movie. You know, just those two are just how annoying Dr. Nemesis is to Forge. Forge is like, just please shut the fuck up. God damn it. Cable's great. Although apparently it looks like that Hope is Strife in the future. Don't know how that works. Right. Or maybe just like Cable, it's a clone of
no, it, yeah, it's, I it's, mean, it's last,
clone, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. So, but like maybe this
Hope. Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I read that. I'm like, Strife doesn't work that way, though. It's not like a mantle. It's a clone of Cable.
Yeah, because right. I wasn't sure because I'm like, because at first I couldn't tell. I was like, is that Strife? Yeah, Strife. Wait a minute. Something's not. That Strife has boobs. That's
literally. Also, it's an X-23.
But the point is, I love Strife. I love that design. I love that fucking design. It makes no sense, but I love it. You people should be reading Cable and X-Force. It's great comedy. It's great action comedy. Fucking the best thing about that book was Domino. Boom Boom giving sex tips to Domino about dating Colossus. It was awesome. Anyways, the book I want to talk about is FF number 10.
On a completely unrelated note.
Well, they're both weird and they're both team books. So I don't know. Are y'all reading this book anymore? I feel like y'all not. Y'all aren't.
I am not.
Okay. So we opened up this issue with John Storm, which is Johnny Storm from the future, old man John Storm with no eye, who in the last couple of issues, Alex Power went to Latveria, tried to warn Doom that the okay, because this is okay. Here, fuck. I didn't want to do this. Okay. Basically, John Storm came back from the past. Apparently this is connected to Fantastic Four, but it does a good job of not having to, like, it does a good job enough to where, like, you would never know that, and it doesn't hinder the story, which is awesome. John Storm wants to end Doom forever. Like, forever.
Smart
like,
man. Very like, smart
like,
man.
Like, in all it took parallel realities. That out. Like, the one constant thing is Doom. That is the one constant thing, apparently.
That's a depressing reality.
And, so they come back to end Doom. So Alex, and I don't remember the reason why, wants to go warn Dr. Doom. I don't remember why. I feel like there's a logical reason for it. And so John Storm immediately says, you have the smell of Doom on you, boy, and starts to go after Alex. And Ant-Man's like, we don't do that. And Doom has Alex under the leash. You know, he has his parents hostage. So we're then proceeded to an inside baseball where the FF Ant-Man, I can't remember the girl's name right now.
The chick in the Thor suit?
And Darla Deering, She-Hulk, and Medusa all take Tom Brevoort, senior editor from Marvel Comics, writer Matt Fraction, and there's another guy in here. I think he's...
Paul Dini?
No, it's not Paul Dini. Basically, Matt Fraction, the writer, and the editor for the book, Tom Brevoort, come into. They want to write a comic book about the FF, which is, you know, in the FF's history, it's whatever. It's Marvel playing baseball. They've done this before. And we're never, and you know, sort of. this nice double-page sequence where it's the son of Black Bolt, I believe. I think it's the son of Black Bolt.
Who is this you're talking about?
I don't know his name, though.
This Max, is it Maximus?
No, that's his brother. This is brother. I'm talking about
I know. I want to make sure we're not
Alex asked, like, there's about. A nice page sequence where Ulrich kind of just draws them just doing simple things, but it's so beautifully done, you don't care. And Alex asks the question, because he's trying to figure out a way to tell them, hey, Doom's kind of writing me, but he can't tell them that, so he's trying to find a way around it. So he's like, have you guys ever killed any, you guys know anybody that killed anybody? And he says, Black Bolt's son says, sure, I know someone to kill anybody. Why? We cut back into this wacky adventure in subspace, and they go to Adelan in subspace, and the kids go to Adelan to talk to Maximus, who is in this containment cell where his eyes are closed. I don't know what his power is, so he's Maximus the Mad. What is his power anyways?
Who, Maximus?
Yeah. He's got genius intellect, but he's also completely unhinged.
Okay, because he calls himself Maximus the Mad. I knew who he was, but I just didn't know. And I know he was crazy, but I didn't know what his ability was.
Oh, yeah, he's Fruit Loops.
He's very, very Fruit Loop. As a matter of fact, he's tried to take over Attilan, numerous times. I think he was supposed to have been dead at one point, brought back.
And they broke him out of jail for War of Kings, right. I think it was.
No, just before that,
what was that event?
Him and Sentry. Crap, when Quicksilver stole the Terrigen crystals and tried to give them to the U.S. government. And
Right.
I forgot what that was. Silent War. It was Silent something. But that was it. And it ended up, what was it? It ended up being Quicksilver's way back into the quote-unquote good graces of the Inhumans, but his daughter knew exactly what her father was doing, and then she wouldn't talk to him, something like that. I think that was
the thing. Silent War was just after.
Anyways, I don't mean to cut y'all off. So basically, they're trying to pry information, and of course, Maximus, not being the person that he is, he's like, "Well, let's trade." And he basically challenges them to a game of 21 questions, of being the goal of a game of questions. You must Inuit what I am, and if they don't get it, I don't remember what does it say. Basically, if you don't get it, you're not going to get the information. So we're cut in between the Fantastic Four, the FF, being chased by a gigantic tiger that escaped from the zoo because of one of the kids, I believe. Oh, and Mike Allred's in this, because you can tell it's Mike Allred, because he has a madman, the guy with the white thing. like that's cool. I knew what that was anyways. So they're basically asking him, And it's back and forth, and it's a rapid fire. They're counting how many questions are. She-Hulk, and finally uses the little spring things y'all saw in issue one to wrap up the tiger, which is awesome to see. And so they can't get it. They can't answer the question, what are you, what are you, what are you? It's back and forth. Are you sitting here? Are you a concept? And so finally, Bentley, Pastebot Pete's son, says, not Pastebot, Medusa's? Whatever. It's confusing. Says, are you a concept? Yes, but that was your 20. They finally scream, what are you? And it ends with Maximus free, simply saying, I am free. Bum, bum, bum. So he used them somehow, because I guess of his genius intellect, to buy time to distract them to get out of his prison. I don't know how that works, considering why he didn't escape beforehand. But I was trying to look in the panels to see if there was a way, but I couldn't. Like he stands up, and I'm not sure if he could always stand up. But yeah, he basically baits them until finally he's free. And so now the Future Foundation kids have to deal with Maximus the Mad, which is like, I knew that last picture. Like, oh, that's not good. No. That's a nice good no. This series maintains its wackiness. It's just sort of charm that I love about it, the weirdness, which is like, I wonder why not enough people are reading this over Hawkeye. You know, I feel like people, if you like Hawkeye, you probably like FF. It was really weird to see Matt Fraction, the writer of the series, and Allred and Tom Brevoort in the book. You know, it was like, it's weird, but in a good way. What was I just going to say? But yeah. And I like the fact that everything sort of just like that. Well, each issue pretty much has been like single self-contained stories. Maybe there's a two-parter here and now and then. It's been overarching to ending Doom, which I just love that idea. So yeah, I give it a 4 out of 5. FF. Read it. Read it now.
Do it. Do it now.
Up. Okay. T-Man. Captain Marvel, yeah. the finale crossover to The Enemy Within.
I'm not too happy with
she's dead.
Yeah, and stories with female protagonists that involve health issues, you know, because either it involves their ability to be a mother or something else internal, and the struggle and the crying and the weeping and all the rest of
that. I do love the cover though.
Yeah, this actually is a good cover. I'll give it that.
With the but look.
I read the first book, and I skipped 2, 3, and 4. I came back for this one.
And you didn't read the crossover.
I had no interest. You know, there were so many head games going on with Carol. You know, trying to get her to dance on. I don't want to read stories. I don't want to read stories like that with any hero. And damn sure not.
It was a nice
heroes.
Avengers battle. Like it was an old school. Avengers battle where they're fighting Kree sentries and the Brood and all of Carol's sort of like things that she's fought over the years using her mind being against
a trip down memory lane.
I loved how Kelly Sue DeConnick writes Spider-Woman and not the sort of Debbie Downer that Bendis wrote her for years. I like the fact that she's
I agree with that. Yeah, she's a bit more up. But yeah, in this book is basically the conclusion of all of that mess where we finally find out that the guy who'd been tormenting her for such a long time was in fact Jan Rog, who we thought was dead when, you know, the psych magnetron went off and gave her powers and he died or disappeared or whatever. It turns out he went forward, I believe, in time.
Yeah.
And he just kind of shows up and he's
another time travel thing.
What happened?
And no, I was just referencing this as another time travel thing that's in the this book kind of caps the first year of Captain Marvel in a way.
Sadly. Because I don't like this being it. I think it could have done better than, you know, finishing the last 6 months. Actually, I'll say 7. The last 7 issues have really been this mess, and I'm not happy with it. I'll give it the way it ended. That wasn't bad, but I thought it could have been better. I could have done a lot better. Anyway, everything's come to a head because Jan Rog is using Carol herself as the power source to power this new psych magnetron that he's got designed that's actually within him, and he's using her as the power source, using the sentries as amplifiers for her power, her ability to generate, store, and convert and use energy for himself to reconstruct new Kree-Lar on Earth and use that to take over the planet, and I will rule it as a king.
Oh, yeah, new Kree, you know? New whatever Kree. Captain.
Yeah, and then he's going to take and put her in a crystal so she can live out her long and useless life going,
that's kind of fucked up way to, like, yeah, you see all this? Yeah, suck it.
Yeah, also interesting to find out that she had a bit of his brain in hers.
Yeah. Or mine. Which I think that's what caused the whole brain thing is because of that.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, but that also doesn't make a whole lot of sense because when they look back, I think it was the issue before this kicked off, it looked like it was something that had been there for a while anyway and hadn't been – well, I guess that kind of – yeah, it does kind of explain it. You know, it could go either way. Yeah. I wasn't too happy with that because – but, oh, look, brain damage. Durr. And we don't dare operate on it because we don't know how it might affect her, you know, physically, physiology, you know, her physiology.
Would you cut a turtle not knowing where the fuck everything you need to cut were?
You know, we don't know if we cut one, stitch two, or whatever. Bah! So, Carol's all torn up, and she's weakened, and she's there getting slapped around by Yon-Rogg, which I had to admit was like kind of, oh, he did not. He just, a bitch slapped her again. No, Carol! And she kind of goes, what the fuck? That's Captain Marvel to you. And I'm like, yes! Woo! So she wakes the fuck up, and she decides to remove herself from the equation because the Avengers that were fighting their way through, and interestingly enough, what's her name? Connor? Deconic, excuse me. The Deconic, she goes kind of classic with the Avengers. Me, I'm wondering, why is it most people don't use Hickman's Avengers? You know, where's the Hyperion showing up? Where's the new Gravity and the new Smasher? Where are those guys?
They're on the beach.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
It's a big team. I would say as a legitimate story reason, she probably did not call those guys because she does not know them and she likes them.
That's fair.
I would think that's the reason.
But I would see now, because she's an Avenger, because all of this is going to tie in at some point, you know, or at least
the book is tying in.
The editor, whoever it is, would go, hey, you know what? Toss this one, that one, and this one in there. You know, there's no dialogue, at least in like one panel.
To be fair, again, from an editing point, again, the book did tie crossover with Avengers Assemble, which is basically the movie cast.
Ugh.
So maybe like from. I could see, like, they wanted to use the characters from that book, which also happens to be Carol's closest friends.
Ah, well, anyway.
I like that Avengers cast over fucking Hyperion and all that. Yeah.
I liked how Carol resolved this situation. Rather than, you know, trying to pull off some Hail Mary, waiting for Cap Shield to get across town, Carol decided to go, you know what, fuck all of this. Come what may, I'm going to take and solve the problem and deal with him using me to fund his whatever the hell. And I'm disappointed here because the Deconic just has Yon-Rogg go, no, she wasn't supposed to do that. All she does is just kind of like fly up into space and then suffer like some...
Well, yeah, because he's connected to that thing. You killed that because that's how he's there.
Yeah, but there's no move to actually kill it. It's just okay. She puts
using her ability to fly because it's connected. That thing is the reason gave her powers, and they've been telling her like, look, if you use your powers, which is why she's on that bike, you're gonna have a hemorrhage.
Yeah, but to say that her flying that high caused a hemorrhage, which shorts up the connection and blah blah blah. That's kind of eh. You know, for me anyway, that it was just kind of lazy.
I found that it fit book and fit within
the not to me. I wanted something a little more. I wanted more hero there. You know, I mean, not that her pulling off what might be a sacrifice play wasn't heroic, but it was kind of understated, you know, for me. Because she's just kind of left there in space, just kind of, am I there? Yeah. Or will I just kind of wake up with a helmet, a headache? You know, and it was... underwhelming.
Well, because she knew. Well, I mean, like punching him wouldn't do anything. He would still.
No, that's fine. But I'm talking about addressing the situation, which is him rebuilding Kree-Lar on top of Manhattan Island. You know, I wanted something a little more, rather than something as understated and quick as this was.
Oh.
It just didn't work for me. It needed a little something there in the end. But suffice to say. She beats him. He's broken up. And, I mean, the man looks utterly defeated because she flew. You know, like, I didn't see that. I can't believe. No. And, you know, everybody's all like, ah, Captain Marvel, she flew away. Oh, my God. She may not even know who we are when we come back. What are we going to tell the little child? The children. Okay. I enjoyed it. while I thought the final heroic act was lackluster, I did enjoy how this got wrapped up, because I'm happy it got wrapped up. You know, this wasn't too bad an ending. I'm glad it's done. I guess I would give this a 3.7 Warriors out of 5. I can't say much for the middle three books that I didn't pick up in the storyline, because this storyline just bothered me. But this takes care of business, and hopefully we'll come the next issue and we find out, you know, we find out whether she's a retard or not, and then we could get on to more really good super stuff.
Well, not yet, because it's tying into Infinity.
God damn it, I was ignoring that.
Yeah, next issue, Infinity, which I'm like, because I thought I was going to be escaping from this. Like, okay, I don't have to read. Oh, fuck, here we go.
Well, see, you know what the sad part with that is? If the next issue is Infinity, is she part of Infinity proper, or is it just a tie-in?
What do you mean? Like, is she going to be in the Infinity book?
Yes.
I would think so, because she's part of Hickman's Avengers, and his Avengers book is driving that.
Yeah, but we haven't really seen her in Hickman's Avengers. Not too much.
I think it might just be a tie-in. I mean, you read it more than I do, because I haven't read the book since issue, like, 10, so that was, like in April or March. Probably even February. I don't fucking remember. No, I think it might just be, like, a tie-in, and that's it. I hope it's not a long thing, because I want this book back to be on its own.
Oh, me too. Yeah, I agree with that.
All right. Bri, you awake there, buddy?
I'm here.
Okay, Uncanny X-Men.
Yes, number 9.
Apparently all white women look alike, according to Bocciolo.
Well, according to me, too. I pissed Wes off when I said, oh, I thought that was Emma Frost in the cover being useful for once, and he flipped his shit.
Ooh. You know what? He may be my boss, but fuck that guy sometimes.
We know you want to.
Yeah, I honestly thought that was Emma Frost for a second, and I was kind of like, okay, she's not in the porn outfit anymore. The white clothes still got it going on. I could deal with that. You know, alas, it's not Emma Frost.
You know, that's not a bad-looking Allison either. I will say that's a pretty good
Well, there's never a bad-looking Allison. I mean, except for the original Dazzler, but we'll get to that in a second. Okay. Last time on Uncanny X-Men, Fabio Medina, one of the new mutants who sprung up, who has the ability to create golden balls.
Hey, am I in this book? Right in their character named Ben in this book?
I don't know.
I could have sworn there was a mutant named Ben in that book.
Well, I'm sure there is, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, Fabio Medina, new mutant, was training under Cyclops to mastery his art of golden balls, yes. I'm not really sure what kind of code name that rings at you, but hey, you know. Trust the Midas stuff. No.
Hey, Midas wouldn't be bad.
Yeah.
But then, move on.
Then everyone will be asking if he grabbed his balls. Anyway, Dazzler shows up. New mutant liaison between S.H.I.E.L.D. and the community that isn't in hiding with the militant, Scott Summers. Anyway, she tries to get a sit down with the family, try to convince Fabio to come with them peaceably and answer a few questions about Mr. Summers and his compound, and also throughout Fabio's sister, I believe, or some relative, flips out, and she whips out Dazzler's initial record, which has her first issue cover on it, and it's just Dazzler in this terrible disco outfit, and she's like...
That disco outfit is awesome, you shut your whore mouth.
She's... Hey, no, because then Dazzler goes, and the woman goes, is this you? And Dazzler goes, yes. And she's like, will you sign it? And then Dazzler turns, why do you have it? And keeps up with, she was on MTV, and she was this and that. And then,
seriously, Bendis, fuck you.
Finally, Fabio's dad gets pissed off and whips out a gun, aims a square at them, tells her to get out, pretty much. Of course, Dazzler hates having guns pointed at her, so what she does is... Have you ever heard of a flashbang? Turns the volume up on the stereo real loud, and boom! The house explodes in just this light, and the whole thing is wrecked. Everyone's overturned. And the last frame you see is just the girl holding onto a Dazzler record like, holy shit. And we cut to the new Xavier School for the Gifted, where Cyclops is training... this new mutant named David, who apparently has the ability to commute with forms of transportation, is what I'm getting from this. I'm not sure it's straight-out technology. We only ever seem to control two pieces of technology, and they're both planes to a degree. So for now, we see Scott Summers training him to command the Blackbird without actually being inside. Pretty much psychic control of this thing. And it's a little rocky at first, but he gets the hang of it. And then, to add a little fun to the whole situation, Irma of the Stepford Cuckoos shows up, and her hair's cut short into a bob, and it's dyed black. So now she is the one that doesn't look alike, unfortunately. Yes. And that gets the other one thinking, one of them that thinks maybe I'll go redhead, and then, of course, the other one flips out. But point is, they find out from the news, that's from the San Diego local news, that Fabio was taken. And he's held in interrogation with S.H.I.E.L.D.
All they do is look at a romance cover and he's there.
Yeah. Basically, Dowd is trying to get out of this kid some stuff about Summers, his operations, his whereabouts, all that stuff. Of course, Fabio's like, I don't know. I don't exactly know the location. I don't know this, that. And the entire time this is going on, you can kind of see the situation being turned against S.H.I.E.L.D. Because essentially what ends up happening is he's like, okay, you did hunt me down. You did take me ketchup. You didn't want to question me without any rights. And it goes about as well as you could expect. And then what the fuck do you think happens? Cyclops and his men storm in, put down S.H.I.E.L.D. pretty much. Magic teleports Maria Hill to a beach or something and just kind of leaves her there. Which, by the way, holy shit. Maria Hill and S.H.I.E.L.D. have been getting their asses handed to them by the mutant community, you know, at large here. Okay? First, Mystique drops in posing as Maria Hill, tears him a new one with Sabretooth and Lady Mastermind. Then it happens again when she tries to buy Madripoor. And now X-Men Cyclops just kind of storms in and is like, yeah, buy Hill, and poofs her to a beach somewhere. And it's just, it really feels like S.H.I.E.L.D. is getting just shit upon.
By the mutants, at least.
By the mutants, yes. The mutants keep handing S.H.I.E.L.D. their respective asses.
You know, I bet you that caused Maria Hill to build a Sentinel.
God, I would believe it.
Hey, is it true that Cyclops is called Uncle Tom?
Yes, I believe.
Tell me the context of that scene, because I don't need somebody to tell me that. I want another
podcast. Cyclops called Dazzler the Uncle Tom of mutants by bending over for S.H.I.E.L.D., basically.
Really?
Really?
That's... Okay.
Okay, so,
if you know what Uncle Tom means...
That's a pretty
fucking big word that Cyclops threw there.
Yeah.
I mean, jeez.
Yeah. It pretty much goes like,
also,
you know,
I'm a hypocrite of it.
He offers her a spot. She's like, you think I'm coming with you? And just like that turns, you know, right now you look like the Uncle Tom of the mutants. And she flips back, well, what would that make you? The Saran of mutants? And
is Cyclops because I don't read this book. I kind of wanted to, please,
feed me your questions, please.
Because I got to read this book, and I want to read this book. It's collected, but it's like, I'm not in a hurry to read it.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, it feels to me that Cyclops is becoming even a bigger douchebag than he was prior to this.
I don't think he's becoming, I think he's put into a light where no matter what he does, it's just
Is he moving into, extreme mutant protection? Is that what his thing is now?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, what happens is when a new mutant shows up initially early on, they would just kind of storm in, grab the mutant without really asking them if they want to go, and then leave, and then kind of spell shit out to them. So even when he was making the first impression, it kind of went wrong. But the way it's happening now is that he sent Fabio home like he wanted to, because apparently that was the contention of last issue where Fabio was like, I'm tired of this, I want to go home. Cyclops was kind enough to let him go. But he knew when Magneto told him Fabio was picked up, he's like, already? But he knew it was coming. And so I guess what he sees is that no matter what the mutants he's picking up think, they're in it whether they like it or not. That's sort of the feel I'm getting, where it's kind of like, okay, you can bitch and moan, but
no, it just seems
you can run, but you'll be back.
It
you know,
seems weird kinda... to me, like, the focusing on the Uncle Tom stuff is just like, that's, like, and I know this ties, maybe this ties into, you know, Remender saying that, you know, with Havoc saying that, I'm not a mutant, like, a mutant isn't what defines me, so maybe it ties into that whole debate, and Kitty Pryde saying, you know, Jewish and you'd be moving who you are and stuff like that. Don't hide it. I don't know. That's a huge fucking thing to say. Call a person.
Well, the rest of their conversation didn't.
Like, I'm not offended. I don't want to sound like I'm offended.
No. That's perfectly fine.
But like that, like maybe it's fitting also to put it in an X-Men comic, considering what the X-Men has been all about for the past 15 years.
They've been feared and hated for years. Because
it's like Uncle Tom, though. I mean, Jesus.
Let me move on my review, please.
Okay.
Anyway. The conversation preceding that went about as well as could be expected, you know. Cyclops kind of busts in, he's like, you're working with S.H.I.E.L.D. now? And Deadshot's like, well, yeah, why aren't you? And, of course, the Inhumans are hunting us. They're trying to put us down, man, fight the power, all that good stuff. And the part that kind of ticks me off is that we see Dazzler with a huge display of just power. It's right in the beginning of the pages where she sets off that solid light flashbang or what have you. You know what she does when Cyclops rolls in with the X-Men and they break out Fabio? Jack shit. She does nothing but trade words with him. That's really the extent. They talk for a couple of pages. He calls her an Uncle Tom. She calls him the Saranta Mutants. And they just kind of go and do their own thing. Which, by the way, part two of the Mutants and S.H.I.E.L.D. Middle Finger. Cyclops has David, the mutant who can control teleport technology... or his codename is Hijack now, by the way. Cyclops has him steal the Hellcarrier and drive it away. And it's wow. Yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. cannot hang with the mutants, apparently. They just keep handing it to him. We cut to a scene afterwards, Dazzler, of course, lamenting that her first mission kind of went belly up. She's comforted by none other than Agent Phil Coulson.
Who offers right, he exists.
Yeah, he exists in the Marvel proper now. And it kind of pans out almost like a hitting on her scenario, where it's kind of like he gives her bad taste in coffee, and she's like, coffee's terrible, sorry, but hey, you want to talk about it? You want to talk? And all that stuff. Of course, okay. You guys are reading all new X-Men?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Phil Coulson's not Phil Coulson. He's Mystique, and she assumes Dazzler's identity within S.H.I.E.L.D.
Whoa. What?
Yeah. Yeah. Dazzler, turns out the coffee tastes terrible because there's a drug in it, and Dazzler gets knocked the fuck out. Coulson reveals himself or herself as Mystique, and then assumes Dazzler's identity within S.H.I.E.L.D. as the mutant liaison.
Wow. And,
that's how that issue ends.
So maybe you think that's... No, because they were fucking... Because, like, Mystique was causing havoc as the all-new X-Men. No, that was, That was a Lady Mastermind.
Yeah.
I'm going to call her Mastermind. That's condescending. They call her Lady. She's just Mastermind. Because the other one's dead.
It's a hell of an issue. I'll give it that. It's a nice change of pace from all that limbo shit that just went down, but... Holy crap! Yeah, this. I'm not sure how exactly this is tying into all new X-Men. If it is, like with
the Adam Collins stuff. You don't read all new X-Men, do you?
No, I do. I'm trying to remember the last issue. I think it ended with Mystique. If she got away.
They caught Mystique.
Think she got away though, but I'm not sure.
Exactly. No. She did, but like they caught up with what she was doing. She was trying to buy Madripoor.
Right. So yeah,
that's something.
Yeah, and you know. Mystique kind of is like, the entire time Dazzler's out, she's kind of talking down to her. It's like, you know, I meant what I said. I am a big fan. Mystique's apparently a big fan of Dazzler. And, you know, just kind of like, I know it's going to be hard for you, but try not to take it personally. There's a bigger picture. And that's pretty much where it leaves off. So, what that bigger picture is...
It's probably Battle of the Atom.
It probably leads into that, yeah. But regardless, it was an intriguing issue. I actually liked it a hell of a lot more than I thought I would. Because... The last issue with Limbo's last arc sort of seemed to drag on a little bit. Kind of had me on the ropes about dropping it, but this issue turned it around for me. I especially enjoyed Dazzler's turn for how short a tenure it was. She was an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. for all of one issue, and then she kind of dropped like a sack of potatoes, but it was a good issue, you know? Bendis, of course, does a peerless job writing it. Seems my initial fears, I'll call it now, my fears going in with him writing the X-Universe were unfounded. Oh. He's done a great job.
I can't speak for Uncanny, but all the X-Men is so good.
Yeah. And
you know, Chris Bochlo, I got a soft spot for his art. I love it. It's so different and distinct. And granted, white girls do tend to look the same. You know, there is that little bit of the...
Don't they all look the same in real life, though?
Well...
White blonde women, they all look the same to some degree.
I don't know. You could go into this and turn it into an all this and that look the same, but point is, it was a good issue. I actually really liked it.
Okay. I look forward to seeing what that chapters are like in Battle of the Atom.
Yeah. And I'll mirror my earlier score. I'll give it a 3.5 out of 5. You know, wasn't the best issue, wasn't the fastest pace, but it's a self-contained, nice little look into S.H.I.E.L.D. and Dazzler and all the stuff what they've been up to. And it sets up for something inevitably that's going to be bigger than this. So that's always a plus. But I liked it. No complaints here. Actually, I'm going to bump it up to a 4 out of 5, and I'll cut it off there. So.
Well.
Yeah.
Why is that? It's double shipping, isn't it? That bullshit? That nonsense?
Uncanny or All New X-Men?
Both. I know All New X-Men does.
Yeah.
But I didn't know about Uncanny. You know what's weird is, like, they double ship during 4-week months, but when it's 5th week, oh, 1 issue.
Yeah, 5th week, they kind of mess it up. Like, well, because it's the 5th week, you
I'm
know?
Like, oh, not even double ship, just twice a week, just twice a month, just come out. You know, I'm like, you really? You don't double ship during a 5th week where you could put it at... Fuck you. You only ship once during this, so you got to make a week longer? Screw you. Such a whatever. Anyways.
Speaking of X-Men, by the way, What If finished up last week. Y'all guys read that one, right? The super fantastic 4-issue run of What If A versus X.
Logan finally gets his reward.
Oh,
hey, you know what? Jean Grey's not a bad reward, I'll say that much.
Okay, no.
Yeah, hold I on. Wouldn't want to sacrifice my life just to have a chance at a resurrection with her. Come on.
Just, no, hold on for a second here. Okay, look.
I still can't believe they turned What If into a miniseries.
They dropped the typical format, and now they turned it into, like...
Like, What If to me, and every What If I've read, even the modern stuff, which is, they've not been great, but the last What If I bought was What If Civil War. And funny enough, I like that one more than Civil War event itself. But the fact, because I was going to buy it, because I kind of wanted to see it, you know? Like, it was, it's going to be, because I didn't look at any slits, I didn't know it was coming out. What If, I go in the store, wait, what the fuck? What the fuck? I don't even know anymore, man. Fucking world's... Anyways, I don't like the format change. Point.
I don't have any problem with it. They rather than doing, you know, the What If of the month where they come up with, what if, let's pull something else out of our hat and run
with
it.
I miss those.
There's some of them, yes, and others, no.
What if Spider-Man doing
Fantastic? I don't mind the What If X event had taken place, but this is what was different. You know, here it would be, what if Magneto was really just kind of playing both sides off of each other and got them to, you know, take themselves out. Okay, yeah, I kind of saw that, you know. And what I thought was funny was, it's supposed to be a what if, but they just went and changed more stuff anyway just because, like, having Nova there with the Guardians of the Galaxy doing stuff. I'm like, well, hold on, wait a minute. If he's supposed to be here at this point doing this, then they wouldn't have met each other. So what the hell's going on? Whatever. But I on the whole, aside from the Logan, yay, ending, I thought it was...
Hey, it came out during Wolverine. They needed a Wolverine story out. Let's go.
Wolverine saves the day, as always. No,
fucking badass.
Well, not really. Yeah, this is not... Your dad's Wolverine was badass. This guy is
Kurt Wolverine, Headmaster Wolverine? No, you're right. I see. Hugh Jackman Wolverine is badass, though.
Hugh Jackman Wolverine got his ass kicked by Viper, so that's all I'm saying.
I won't say anything more because I feel like I will reveal a huge thing that happens in the movie, and I think you should experience
that. We have a show for that next week, guys.
Yes. Okay, we'll see.
Yes, movie things will be addressed.
Anywho, so yeah, I mean, admittedly, I kind of let myself go with this one. I dug in because I thought it'd be interesting. I didn't know it was going to be a continuous story because when I got to the end of the first issue, I'm like, wait, that's it's not over. What? Oh. Yeah. No. I was immediately intrigued, however, by the idea of a Phoenix Force 5 of not mutants, including the likes of like Nova and Miss Marvel, Thor, Vision, and I think Black Panther was the other one.
That's weird.
I know, because they were the ones that met the Phoenix out in space, but it turns out Thor and T'Challa never even got possessed by it, and the other three were possessed for like a second before Phoenix kind of dropped them, just kind of like, oh, they're not mutants. But yes, so I don't really know how I feel about it. I kind of miss the one-shots they used to dole out, you know? And this story felt like a huge fucking cop-out to me, especially the ending. The ending felt like such a major cop-out. Oh, my
God. Yeah, I agree with that.
No, because, I mean, I don't know what you think about Wolverine or the Phoenix or Jean or whatever and their relationship.
It is my sacred cow.
No, listen to me. When you incinerate an entire planet after murdering...
If she told me that, hey, in order to be with me, I have to kill her. Okay, let's do it. Fuck those guys.
Huh? No.
That's all that matters.
She killed every hero that met to face her, killed the rest of the people, and then incinerated an entire planet, grew it back, and was kind of like, oh, we're the future now. Let's get naked. Let's bone.
Hold on, wait a minute. Did she grow it back, or did it come back over time? Because that's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, did she time travel, or did she, like...
No, I think that was just time moving forward, not her speeding it up,
Did she do that? I don't think so.
Well, no. With the way they played Phoenix back in the day, I wouldn't have put it past, because you're talking about shit like the power cosmic, okay? So anything that wanted to get done was the order of the day.
Business.
But looking at, if you go back and you look at that those panels, it wasn't her, okay, I wiped out everything and now I'm helping things to grow back. It was shit got eliminated, but life still finds a way, you know? And that
life finds a way after murdering all your friends and loved ones.
Yeah.
Because but fuck those guys, you got Wolverine.
But yeah, that, right? I really you think got that, crazy that wasn't... That wasn't her work. I don't think it was. I think that was just simply
how did she even come back? She was dead. She was
dead. She was in the white room.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Yes. Waiting for her number to call.
Okay. No. Hold on a second. And one more thing. Magneto as the Phoenix is not okay. Just not okay.
Well, you know what? About that. Didn't they have promos where it showed the Avengers being the ones with the Phoenix power?
It showed the Phoenix Force 5, the Avengers of Phoenix.
Yeah, see, now, I thought that was going to happen, and that's what I was looking for. That's why, you know, the story didn't go that way. And I thought that would be, you know...
That would have been such a better story if that had happened.
Yeah, you know, that would have been the what if. What if it hadn't been the mutants, but it had been the other... You know, the other side that had
gotten... Can you imagine the stuff they could work out if Thor was possessed by the Phoenix Force? And
the God Butcher would have been a bitch.
Ah, yeah, good point.
Oh, hell
good
yeah. Point.
No, just... Captain America trying to be right and proper and being the first one to fucking lose it.
Yeah, and Cyclops lost his balls during this one. Instead of the ultimate, like he's the ultimate pussy. He did nothing. He contributed literally nothing to the story. I do not exaggerate, okay? Storm did more in this book, and she died in the first issue, okay? Wow. That's how bad Cyclops was. Seriously.
Yeah, he really was useless.
He died.
Yeah, Storm was the catalyst for Magneto going rogue and just killing a bunch of people.
You know, it's overdue for him to go rogue.
Magneto?
Yeah.
Nah, I think he's kind of worn that trick out. I think it's going to be just Cyclops now going rogue and shit.
No, I think eventually fucking Magneto's going to just like, you know, fuck this, I'm being evil again.
I don't know. I think he enjoys having Cyclops on his side too much.
Oh, sure, but I think we're almost due for a Magneto turn.
Well, battle the end, so, you know.
That could be tough for another game. Anyways, I mean, the story seems fine. I just have a problem with it not being a one-shot. You know, I like the – like, whenever – what if, I would buy what-ifs on a fifth week when I only have like 3 books. I'm like, you know what? Let's get this. This seems like this could be interesting. But the fact that it was a miniseries just bothers me. Like, I don't know. I mean, it was I don't know who was on it, but you know, I can only tell how much I would like it or if I would dislike it.
If this had ended up being, you know, what if the Avengers had gotten the powers and then whatever? Okay, I could have actually seen a 4-issue, you know, 4 issues in length.
I would have.
But as it is, this could have been done in 2. You know, they just dragged it out and I'm gonna say wasted time. Palmiotti wasted time. You know, they just wanted to, yeah, let's get some more sales. And,
Tell you right now, Palmiotti does not give a shit about that.
Well, I don't doubt that.
he was one of the guys I went to Anaheim. Forgive me, guys, it's been a while. When I went to Anaheim and I talked to him for a good 15 minutes. And, like, based on how he is as a person, I don't think he ever gives a shit about that. And maybe he was just having fun and he thought it was a good story in his head.
Yeah, until it went way off base.
Until I disappointed everyone.
Disappointed,
and I hope in future they turn back to the one shot, or at least do better job with the story arcs, because this was lackluster at best. And
a
payout,
good premise too, but just very disappointing.
All right, well, I guess that's it, huh?
Oh, first show back, I think, was a success, huh? Huh?
Excuse me, I have to go after Metal Gear. You can find us at themightywarriors3.com. You can also find us at twitter.com/warriors3pcast. I might add gear in there just because I like the word that gear. Also, I because selfish promotion time for me, I've been really busy over the past couple of months. I am the official reviewer of the three main core Green Lantern books. If you want to know how horrible of a writer I am, or if you think I'm actually pretty good, I have written reviews of the first of these post-Jeff Johns era of Green Lantern Core and Green Lantern New Guardians. And supposed to say, I like New Guardians the best.
You mean they're not having, what's his name, Eric do it anymore?
He was none of them. This is writing. I'm not on their podcast. If that even exists.
Yeah, but
better not.
I thought he was writing some of them.
Mm-mm. As far as I know, when I put it out on Twitter that I was going to be writing more for my own personal blog, he asked me if I was going to do it. I'm like, yeah, sure, fuck it, why not?
Okay.
And if you ever want to hear my thoughts on the Green Lantern world, which is a very interesting world in the post-Jeff Johns era, come take a look.
That era hasn't been too long, so how interesting could it be?
I'll tell you off show.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will all see you all next week for episode number 140.
Next week? We got to do this all again?
Yep.
Damn!
Every week after, Taser.
It's like school.
Happy trails, ladies and gentlemen.
Happy trails to you.
We're back, boys and girls. We're back. Okay, we're at episode number 140 with this recording.
Oh, perfect. I love odd numbers.
140 is odd?
Yes, because zero, circle, whatever. My logic doesn't matter. All right. You are listening to episode number 140 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast, Metal Gear.
I love it.
I have acquired a quite hefty love for Metal Gear over the past 6 years. I even did it at work once. Some guy was asking me about a gear, and I accidentally went, you're looking for a gear. He thought, like, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Just ignore that. Okay,